The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and they are great ones or tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. An employee invited his boss over to have supper with his family. And the boss arrived and they sat down at the table, and all during the meal, the boss dominated the conversation with his stories of how well he had built his business and of the achievements he made and how the deals that he had made and the money that he had made. And all during this meal, though, the little boy in the family kept staring at the boss. Finally, towards the end of the meal, the boss looked at the little boy and says, "Why do you keep looking at me like that?" And the little boy says, "My dad said that you're a self-made man." And the boss beamed and puffed up a bit. And yes, he said, "Yes, I am. I earned everything that I've got. I'm a self-made man." And the little boy then asked, "Well, why'd you make yourself like that?" We like to be the center of attention. We like to be number one. We like to be on top. We like to achieve our goals. We like everyone to recognize us. We like to take the credit. We like being in power. We like being in control. We like telling other people what to do. We don't want to hear other people tell us what to do. We like to be the advisors, the ones the people come to for information. We want to be the most popular. We want to have a say in it all. In our gospel lesson this morning, that's where James and John are. Earlier, the disciples had been arguing amongst themselves, who is the greatest? And James and John saw this opportunity to approach Jesus. Perhaps Jesus was off by himself. And James and John finally had that opportunity to come and approach Jesus. And they asked him, "Jesus, give us what we ask from you." And Jesus, playing along, says, "What is it you ask?" And James and John say, "Let us sit in the places of power when you come into your glory." They wanted to be the top advisors. They wanted to be the generals once Jesus came into his glory. They didn't know what they were asking for. We do want to be on top. We want to be number one. We want to be in control. We want to have the power. And again, that all stems from original sin. That story of Adam and Eve, when they ate the forbidden fruit, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree that God told them not to eat from, because they thought that if they would eat it, they would become like God, or they would actually become gods. They wanted to be number one. They wanted to be in control. And because of that, that sin is passed down to us. It is within us. And so we are always seeking that glory. We're always seeking to be number one. We always have that temptation with us. Jesus also went through that temptation a couple of times, actually, just a few chapters here before it in Mark's gospel, when during that first prediction of Jesus going to Jerusalem, suffering many things and being killed on the cross and rising again. The first one of those predictions, when Peter understood what Jesus was saying and said, "No, Lord, we're not going to let that happen to you." That was a temptation. That was a temptation for Jesus. He could get out of it. He wouldn't have to go through all those suffering things. He wouldn't have to do that. The other time that he was tempted was actually earlier than that. It was when he was coming out of the waters of baptism and he went into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights and he was tempted by Satan. That third temptation was that temptation for power, because Satan took him up to the highest pinnacle and he says, look at all the kingdoms of the world. I will gladly give them to you. All of these will be yours. I won't fight you for them anymore. They will be yours if you just simply bow down and worship me. It would have been easy for Jesus. He wouldn't have to go through all that suffering and the death on the cross. He wouldn't have the scribes and the Pharisees on his back from time to time. His disciples would understand who he is. He would be in charge. He would be in control. He would have people following him everywhere as he went. He could go into any kingdom that he wanted to and be received as royalty. The temptation was there, but instead Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus had a completely different way of looking at the world, not as being first, but rather as being the servant. And it started as he first came into this world. And you remember that Christmas story where Jesus was born as a little bitty helpless baby, placed in a manger, didn't even have a bed. He was born to two parents who were part of the nameless crowd. He came into this world in humility. He came into this world to serve. God, the creature, God the Almighty, the Creator, became the creature to live among us and with us and to serve us. And that's what his life was. He led a life of service through his compassion to people, service through his healing of people, service of just meeting with people, service of sharing his knowledge and his wisdom. He served all people he came into contact with, and he serves us. He served all of humanity by going to the cross and the resurrection. He brought us new life. Jesus asked James and John, "Are you able to drink the cup that I will drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I will be baptized?" And they answered, "Yes." In God's service to us, in Christ's service to us, he gives us many blessings. He gives us that cup of blessing. This morning we will have Holy Communion and we will share in that cup of blessing, that blessing that assures us of the forgiveness of sins. We have been baptized. We have been washed clean. We have been made pure in the baptism of Christ. But the cup and the baptism have double meanings to them. The cup that he shares with us is the cup of his blood, the cup of his sacrifice, that he gave his blood for us so that we may live. He died so that we might have life. The baptism with which we are baptized. Martin Luther explains it this way in his small catechism, that we are drowned in daily repentance. We're actually killed each and every day. The old self is killed and a new self arises in new life in that baptism. Jesus was also talking to James and John about the cup and the baptism. They did not understand because Jesus was talking about his death. He was talking about his death and his resurrection. And I believe that James and John also drank that same cup. They too were martyred for their faith. They too finally understood that being a follower of Jesus is not being the ones on top, not the ones in the power, in the glory, but rather as servants, as being faithful servants to our Lord Jesus Christ. My parents, when I was growing up, had a picture on the kitchen wall. It was right above our kitchen table where we ate most of our meals. And you've probably seen this picture before. I don't know the name of the picture or the artist. But it's of an older man. He has a big white beard. And he's sitting down at a table. And on that table is a loaf of bread and a pair of glasses. And he has his hands folded in prayer. The story behind that painting was that the artist was in his studio working when he heard a knock on the door. He opened up the door and here was this man, this older man. He looked like he had seen better times, and he was asking for food. Employment was hard to find. He was at an older age and people were reluctant to employ him, but he was still willing to work. But yet he had no work and he was hungry, so he was asking for the food. The artist invited him into his home and put him down at his kitchen table, got out a loaf of bread and put it on the table. And instead of just wolfing down that loaf of bread, the older man took off his glasses and laid them on the table. He bowed his head and he folded his hands and he started to pray. As the artist saw this, he was impressed with the hands of this man, because the hands of this man were servants' hands, hands that were used to doing work, hard work, doing work that other people did not want to do. They were hands that had served other people. And the artist was so impressed with this that he made the painting of this picture. We are called to be servants. We are called to follow Christ in his servanthood. Christ took on the burdens of this world. He took on all of our sins. He took on all of our crimes, all of our shame. And he went to the cross for us. Kind of like mom, who has to cook our meals, wash our clothes. She might have to kick the washer to get it started. Who cleans up. Make sure the house is clean. Make sure her husband is taken care of. Runs a chauffeur service for the kids. Does all the chores. And then goes to work. She takes all the burdens upon herself. And sometimes she's just overwhelmed. Christ took on so many burdens that he was overwhelmed. Even to the point of death. Those burdens weighed him down. Those were our burdens that he took upon himself and he died. Our burdens killed Christ, but he was willing to do that because he was a servant willing to serve us. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are also called into that service. We are called to serve other people. We are receivers of the service of Christ so that we can make new receivers of that cup and that baptism. We are servers so that others may hear that word of God, so others may hear that good news, so others may share in the cup of blessing and also share in Christ's baptism. We are servants in Christ. Christ came to serve us all. Let us follow him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.